Awesome. We're just going to pray for Julian. Father God, I want to thank you for the way that you move in our lives. I thank you for just how awesome you are in bringing us to this point right now, for the privilege of being in this building right now. And I thank you for Julian. I thank you for the relationship we have with him. I thank you for the way that he has come to serve us this morning. And Lord God, I pray you mightily bless him. Holy Spirit, fill him afresh. Lord, give him clarity and wisdom and all that you have to give to us as a church. And I pray as a church, we have our eyes, our hearts, our minds open, ready to receive all that you have for us this morning. Lord God, would you bless us as a church family, from the very youngest, the very oldest, all the way through. Lord God, we just are ready to receive all that you have for us this morning. Amen.
Amen. Fantastic. Well, good morning, everyone. It's glad to be like in the new building, isn't it? Boom. floor. Stays on the floor. He rolls off the bike and he's not wearing any levers. He's not wearing a helmet. He's not wearing any protection at all. And so the boy lands on the floor and the motorbike is like thrown across the room. And he's there and he rolls over to face upwards so I can see him. Work with me here. His leg, he kind of lifts his leg up like that and he realizes that the bone of his leg is no longer inside his leg. It's a bad injury and he's crying and he's screaming. He's going, ah! He's in so much pain. True story. Anyway, there's a woman who's just standing along the side and she sees what's happened. She sees the chaos. She sees the accident. And she comes running over to the young boy and she begins to pray for the young boy. You're not dead. You're just badly injured. And so the woman begins to pray for the boy's leg. And the young boy's a Muslim boy, so he's cool with this. He's okay with prayer. It's not nothing unusual to him. And she's praying and she's praying for peace. And then she mentions the name of Jesus. Now, the young boy hears the name of Jesus and immediately he forgets about his pain and he goes into a rage. All he can feel is anger. How dare this woman pray the name of Jesus over my leg? And just as he's at the point of rage, he looks down and he realizes his knee is completely healed. Give it up for Ben. Great job. Go take a seat. See, his knee had gone back. This is a true story. You can find it in the Jesus Freak Books of Martyrs, 2002. This happened. A woman prayed. And the moment he heard the name of Jesus, he became angry. But when he realized the power of what had happened to him, gave his life to Jesus, everything changed. Now, it's an amazing story. It's a true story. It's a miracle we celebrate. The biggest thing I take from this story is that something that was misaligned in his life, something that was broken, something that wasn't in a place that it should be, was all of a sudden corrected and made whole again. That is incredible. Do you think it's possible there are some things in your life that are misaligned? Do you think it's possible that there are some things in your life that are just out of shape? They feel a little bit broken. They feel a little bit disjointed. How painful is it when something that should be in the right place is out of place? How much does that hurt? Never is that more true with a broken leg. Never is that more true with something that is injured. But actually, when we're misaligned, we're uncomfortable, aren't we? Who's ever gone on autopilot when you're driving somewhere? Do you know what I mean? Like, so maybe you've moved house, you no longer live there, or maybe your workplace has changed and you've gone somewhere else, or maybe you kind of went into a room and forgot what you went into a room for, but you go on autopilot. You've done that?
Yeah.
I've been driving, like, I'm heading to, so we live in a house now that we bought, and I used to live in the north of the city. There's times when I'm driving home from church, and I all of a sudden I'm outside a house that I no longer live in. You know, almost to the point where I'm getting out of the car and I'm about to walk through the door. This isn't my door. I don't even have keys here anymore. And so you get back in the car and you go to the place you should have gone. Because what happens is you go on autopilot. You just tick over, don't you?
Yeah.
And so the thing with a destination is often you can set a destination in mind. And it's not that you don't know where you're going. Is it?
No.
Like when you go on autopilot and you wind up in a place you didn't want to be. It's not like when you sat in the car you thought, oh, I don't know where I'm going. You start to drive and somewhere along the journey, even though you knew the destination, like autopilot just took over, like your habits just took over. You became misaligned with your destination.
Yeah.
And so like when you realize you're in the wrong place, you get back in the car and you can go to the actual place you were supposed to go because you know where you're going. But somewhere along there, you were just out of place. You were just took the wrong turn. You were just in the wrong position. You became misaligned as you drove. We do that all the time. Or here's the last thing before we open up 1 Corinthians 12. Who's ever done like a personality test? Really? Oh, that's really impressive. Last time I said this, there's like 3 people in the room. Have you done anything like the Myers-Briggs? ENTP, INFJ, RSPC, no, all that kind of... So the idea of a personality test, you know, you do a test, often it's a ridiculous amount of questions. You have to answer like 150 questions. And it's not to confine you, but it's just to work out, or maybe I'm an introvert. I'm somebody who likes to reflect on my own. I like my own space. I like to be quiet. I don't like loads of conversation. Or maybe you're an extrovert instead of an introvert, and you're someone who loves like loads of people in the room at the same time. Maybe you get your energy from people like chatting to you, and you want to have as many conversations as you can. And so the idea of the personality test is just to work out, where do you fit? What's your makeup? How has God made you? How has God shaped you? And as I do these personality tests, I start to realize I am. The more I realize that I am on a journey, that I'm not yet complete, that I am broken. Maybe it's just me in the room this morning, that actually, as you grow older, you know, you start from a kid and you learn your social skills, you learn how to interact with the world around you, and as you get older, life becomes more complex, but the danger is that you forget to keep growing. You forget to keep shaping in your identity. And so, I'm a choleric phlegmatic, which basically means I'm driven but really laid back. So, like, none of these were a help to me. I'm an introvert extrovert, which means I love people, but I like to spend time on my own. So my life's a paradox. So if you thought, you know, trying to understand myself growing up was hard, even these tests didn't really help. They just sort of, oh. But actually, they explain why I am the way I am. Sometimes I like to go off and spend time by myself. Sometimes I like to spend time with all of you in the room this morning, talking at once. Sometimes I'm loud. Sometimes I'm quiet. That's okay. But what I've realized through doing these tests is that people today struggle with their identity more than ever. See, we started off talking about the boy that broke his leg. There's a misalignment of the bone. We started talking about how we go on autopilot, but it's all leading up to this idea that actually, in this day and age, every single one of us have a battle with identity. We do. We struggle with who we are. We struggle with where we fit. We always ask the question, you know, what's my role in society? What's the purpose of my life? What should I be doing? What should I do next? Where should I be going? If it's a child, off to bed quickly as you can. But we always ask these questions, don't we? It's really sad because Libby and I went up to Edinburgh Fringe Festival in August. Have you ever been to the Fringe? It's a comedy festival in Scotland. It's the first time we went. It was really good. And we tried to see like as many plays as we could. We went to see like stuff that we'd enjoy, but stuff that would really challenge us, which is always dangerous. Some of them were just atrocious, like, and some of them were like really intimate settings. I'm talking small shows where we were kind of locked in a room about the size of this front area, and like all the chairs were wrapped around the side, and the play was going on in the middle. That kind of uncomfortable. And if you're claustrophobic, you probably wouldn't enjoy this. But there was this particular play we went to see, and it was just painful. Like, it started off a little bit weird. I won't go into detail as kind of what the concern was. I regret it. I mostly regret being there. Anyway, we're stuck in the corner. The problem with a room like this as well, there's only one door in and out. So it's like, we're sat in the corner, everyone's piled in, the play's happening in the middle of the room, the door's on the other side, and it's the door that the actors are using to coming in and out. So we can't escape. Because that's where the actors are coming through. So, and even if we tried, like, we'd have to get everybody in the room to stand up to let us out. And so we're so uncomfortable in this play. And it goes on, and halfway through I'm just thinking to Libby, like, what have we come to? This is atrocious. This is horrendous. And actually by the end of it, we were quite challenged. Because it was a play done by some 20-somethings, and it was all about identity. And it was really quite tragic. Because it was all about how they didn't match up to each other. It's all about how their lives were no good. They wasn't worth anything unless they were getting enough likes on Facebook, enough likes on Instagram. How they thought about, you know, everything's ruined unless everyone approves of me or celebrates me. And it was just this desperation in this play, which I think reflects where we're at as society, that we struggle with who we are. Do you know there's some teenagers that spend 17 hours a week on average on Instagram? 17 hours waking a week on Instagram, and they're desperate to get as many likes as they possibly can. And you get this kind of rush when you get some likes on Facebook. If there was ever an issue in our day and age that we need to be aware of, it's this issue of identity. And it's a misalignment of the heart, it's a misalignment of who we are. And actually, the Bible has something powerful to say to us this morning. And as you might be thinking, you know what, Julian, I'm a bit older in church, I've been coming a while. I don't think I struggle with identity. I bet you do. I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I bet you do. I bet you struggle with a sense of identity. I bet you that when somebody does something that you used to do, that upsets you a little bit. I bet you when that you're no longer able to do the thing that you were doing, that sometimes you struggle with, actually, what is my role now? What is my shape? What is my fit? But do you know what? The Bible has something to say about that. And if you're here this morning and you're like, well, do you know, I'm not really Christian or I'm new to church, I promise you this, that you're living in a world where you struggle with identity. How often do you see posters that tell you you need to look a certain way? That you need to speak a certain way? That you need to be a certain thing? That's just the complete opposite of the Bible. The Bible tells you that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. That God loves you, that God knew you before you were born. He loves every part of you, and he's called you for a purpose. He wants to rescue you from sin and death and bring you into a wholeness and completion of his perfect works. That is what the Bible tells us, but we so often listen to the lie of the world. And so whatever situation you're in, there is something for you this morning in 1 Corinthians 12. See, the world tells us to be someone or something different. It tells you that you need to change your identity, that sometimes you need to change your gender, you need to change your perspective, you need to put up and suit everybody else, you need to shape who you are to conform to the world around you. That is what society tells you. The world tells you that we are something that we are not, that you're not ever going to be good enough, that you're not ever going to achieve. The world tells us that you need more to be happy. You need a new cooker, you need a new toaster, you need a new car, you need a new holiday, you need a new partner, you need a new family, you need new friends, and you'll never be happy till you get the next thing. And when you get that thing, they'll tell you the same thing again. That's not good enough. You need something new in order to make you happy. Does anyone hear that message in the world around? That is what the world tells us. The Bible tells us something completely different. If you've got a Bible, 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to start at verse 12 this morning. And by that, I mean verse 1. So this is what it says, 1 Corinthians 12. And just to give you a backdrop, the culture of the day actually isn't anything different to what it is today. This letter's being written to the church in Corinth. It's a pagan city. It's under Roman rule, so people are sacrificing their compromising their morals. There's all sorts of immoral trade going on. Actually, it doesn't look all too different to the world today. There's all sorts of pressures about being conformed and changed. This is why Paul writes about not being conformed by the pattern of the world. It says this, now, verse 1, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Paul starts the chapter here talking about a distinction between what Christian behavior looks like and what non-Christian behavior looks like. And if you have met Jesus, you have been rescued from the world, your life should look different. Who here would like to own up to feeling a little there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. We need difference in the church, not divergence. Do you know what the difference is? The difference between difference and divergence. Difference is that we're made up differently, that we have different personality types, we have different gifts, different abilities, that your kids are good at something different to you. Divergence is when you think, do you know what, my thing's better than your thing. That actually, I can go and do this on my own. Divergence separates, difference can bring us together. That the thing that I do that is not the same thing as you do, it doesn't mean that we have to separate and diverge and split paths. Our differences can complement one another. We need difference, not divergence. Who's ever broken a bone? Any kids in the room broken a bone? You haven't had a childhood if you've not. Dylan, is it Dylan? Drew, again with a D. Drew, what bone have you broken, Drew? Collarbone? Wow. Was it a clean break or was it a fracture? Did it hurt? Yeah, because breaks hurt, don't they? And so when I was playing basketball, I was about 15. I broke my little finger, but I didn't break it. I fractured it. Now, I want to tell you the difference. So, like, if you've ever fractured a bone, I think, honestly, it's far more painful than a break. Do you not think? Like a break, when it's clean, it's separated, it kind of hurts less. But when it's a fracture, it's not broken away, it still pulls on itself. Just to give you a visual image there. Still pulls on itself a little bit. So I fractured my finger. It was the most painful. I mean, I've been hit by a car. I think being fractured on my finger hurt more than being hit by, I'm not kidding. Because it was constant pain. That happens in the church and that happens in your life. You know, when there's a clean, like, breaking's never comfortable. When there's a break, it's clean. When there's a fracture, that hurts everything. Because it's still there, it's still connected, and it's pulling, and it's tense. And one of two things happen. Either it needs to break, and that's excruciating, but eventually heals, or it needs to be pulled together to be made whole. And when you pull a fracture together to be made whole, it's even stronger. There are moments in your life, there are relationships in your life, there are things that you're going through that feel like a break or a fracture. And sometimes they pull on each other, sometimes there's pain, there's tension, but actually when it comes together and when it's given time and it heals, it is made so much stronger. This is all leading somewhere, guys. It goes from the difference between difference and divergence, that a separation hurts us, but coming together heals us. Separation is painful, but coming together can see something that is far more stronger in the future. I think about my own life, like family members, relationships that I've had, people that I've hurt and people that have hurt me. And when it breaks, it hurts, but when it heals, it is so much stronger. Yeah. My best man, my closest friend at my wedding, we've been friends for about 9 years now. And we've fallen out a few times. We've had our ups and downs. In fact, we've had conversations where he's literally ran away from the conversation. And I've ran away from the conversation. And at any moment, the relationship could break. But you know what? Every time we've fixed it, every time we've brought it together, we have such a strong friendship because of it. And I bet you there's relationships in your life that are fractured. There might be relationships in your own heart. There might be things in your own heart that are fractured. When you bring them together and give it time, there is a healing that takes place. This is what the Bible talks about. There are different gifts, different abilities, but those differences don't separate us. Those differences need to bring us to a place of strength. We'll read on. Verse 7 says this, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing of spirits, to another speaking in different languages, to another the interpretation of those languages. All of these work of one and the same Spirit. And he distributes them just as he determines." Is anybody looking forward to Christmas?
Yeah.
You looking forward to Christmas?
Yeah.
What bit of Christmas are you looking forward to?
Yeah.
You're in a safe place. Just raise your hand so I can pick out one or two. What bit of Christmas are you looking forward to the most? Putting up a Christmas tree? You go.
Not going to school.
What a gift, Stuart.
Being in here.
Being in here. Oh, that's... Pastor's going to be super spiritual. What are you looking forward to? Presents. I'm so glad someone said that. Presents. I am looking forward to the gifts. Are you not looking forward to the gifts? I'm sure you are. I know we want to be spiritual, you want to be honest, but the reality is you'll be happy when you open a gift on Christmas morning. Every one of us has that lift. And even if you're not a gift person, do you know what? When you're giving a gift, you determine what to give, don't you? So when you open a present, you do that thing that I do, don't you? When your family's around and it's a jumper that's ugly. Or it's just something that's really not, you know, you got a pair of socks for Christmas. And you open it and, you know, your whole family's watching, the pressure's on. You've got to open it and you do what? You go, "Oh, thank you. Yes, just what I always wanted. An orange. Or a pair of socks." And actually, you know, you've been saying all year, "I want the new Xbox, I want whatever, I want a new car, I want a new holiday, I want a new everything." And you open it up and it's the complete opposite of what you wanted. Certainly as a kid, you have to smile.
Yeah.
That's my tip for you this Christmas. You have to say thank you, you have to be grateful for what you've been given. But here's the thing, the giver determines the gift. You get no say in it. You know, you might have a desire, you might want something, you might go, "I want this particular gift," but it's not up to you. It's up to Mum and Dad. It's up to Father Christmas. It's up to... wherever you go with that, we'll leave that one alone this morning. It's up to my aunt, it's up to my nan, it's up to my gran, it's up to my carer, it's up to my friend. They choose the gift. You have to be grateful for the gift. Do you know what's true with our faith? You don't get to choose what gifts you have. You know, the world will tell, can we just be safe for it this morning? And I think kids need to really hear this as well. The world will tell you that you can be and do anything you want And actually, that's not entirely true. That actually God has shaped you and gifted you for particular things that only you can do, that no one else can do. And when you embrace those gifts, you embrace that shape, and you say, I'm thankful for all God has made me, you will be the best you can be at that. You will spend too much time wanting to be something that you are not. That is not biblical. In church, it's actually Stuart that encouraged me to pick up the bass guitar. I wanted to be the lead worshipper, you know, because it's the limelight stuff, it's the exciting stuff. No one wants to play bass guitar in church, let me tell you. It's not, you haven't even got one here. Oh, you've got one there. It's not a glamorous instrument. No one knows what it does. No one hears it. Do you know what I mean? Like, what is that guy doing when he's playing? And you'll only notice it when it's gone, but you won't notice it was the bass. It's that kind of instrument. It's unseen, unheard. It's not generally a limelight moment. I picked that up, and I learned to play it, and I had a moment of worship where God just challenged me and said, do you know what? If this is what I've given you to do, why don't you do it with the very best of your ability? And stop trying to be something you're not. Because I'm not a good singer. I can shout a good tune, but I'm not a good singer. So putting me, lead, whatever, you guys will suffer. It will be painful. Because it's not my gift. It's not my shape. And the world might say, you know, you can be anything you want to be. Listen, if you can't sing, you can't be a singer. That's not my gift. But actually what my gift is can be the thing that is the best thing ever. Yes. It can be so much better than anything else. When I'm trying to squeeze myself into a shape that does not fit, it will hurt me and it will hurt you. We struggle with this, don't we? You want to hear a message this morning that's gentle and delicate and like, oh, you know, take the world. You can be anything. You can take the world, but you can't be anything you want to be. You can be the thing that God has made you to be, because no one else can be that. You know, we spend so much time looking at other people, looking at other gifts, other abilities, and being jealous and desiring and coveting and wanting that, and it's not for you. God has given you something else. It is possible to despise who you are. It is possible to, and you probably know this is easy stuff, but it's possible to hate who you are. But actually, who you are was made by God. You are made in the image of God. The Bible says you're literally shaped in His image. And we're despising that. Actually embrace who you are. Everything God has made you to be, your gifts, your abilities. While Julie and I don't really have many gifts and abilities. I promise you, you have some gifts and abilities. Because He's a giver. He gave you something and you might be yet to discover it. But He gave something that is only for you. So it's like all the young kids in this room, there is so much potential before you, but God has shaped you in such a way that if you embrace all of that, all of us adults that have spent years getting this wrong, you'll be so far ahead of us because you'll have embraced the full shape of God. You don't get to determine the gift. You see, the thing that I want to make clear, can we like tap way on? Is that working? Just tap on a few bit for me, Drew. Like when you embrace who you are, it adds so much value to people. It adds so much value to everyone else. Is the sound plugged in? Tap on a few more. Like I'm way ahead of all this stuff, guys. But there's just something I've got to show you that you'll love. There's something that I've got to show you. Tap on a little bit more. Because what I want to say is this, is that when you embrace your gift and identity, it adds so much more to other people. It adds so much more to those around you that it's not just for you. It's for everyone else. Tap on just a little bit more. A little bit more. Persevere. We can get there. Three more taps at least. Tap, 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 tap dance it the way. One more. One more. I'm so far into this message, it's so good. Okay, slow down, slow down. There is freedom in your function, there's freedom in your fit. In what God has shaped you to be, there's freedom in that. You think it's limitation, I can only do certain things. That's not limitation, that's freedom, friends. But what, and I want to prove it to you, one more tap. This is what I want you to see. Sound up. One more tap.
Hi, Stuart and Tammy. Hope you're doing really well. We just want to take these few moments just to say how much we appreciate you. For all that you are and all that you're doing in Boston. We think you're doing a fantastic job. You're amazing pastors. We love you very much. And we also appreciate our personal friendship with you. And we'll never forget the whole time that you gave in serving into our journey here in Lincoln. So we want to encourage you, keep going. You're doing a fantastic job. And we're cheering you on every step of the way.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I remember from your time in Lincoln with us was how incredibly relational you were with anybody and everybody who used to come into the bridge, used to come into church, and the way you just opened up your house. And I think that's a real gift that God has blessed both of you with, to open up your house and just allow people to become part of your family, extended family. And I just think that's something that God's really blessed you with. And yeah, just keep going. I just think you're doing a fantastic work. I think there's so much more to come in Boston, and there's just some real great fruit that we're going to see over the next few years. So we're really excited to be cheering you on. We love you lots. Bye bye.
Amazing. Got some tissues at the front. Do you know the truth? Hello. The truth of it is this, that there was a couple that came to our church named Stuart and Sammy. And they were my youth leader. Hello. That's surprising. Did not expect that. You started me off. I'm going to stand here. And these guys came to our church and they just embraced who they were. And them embracing who they are shaped me, shaped other people across the world. We've got friends serving in different churches because of them. And not just because of them, because of the people as well. But when you embrace who you are, that you, these guys are called to be pastors. They're the mother and father of this church, but they were the mother and father of so many other people as well. The spiritual parents. But when you embrace your function, you make all of that work. It sees people thrive and grow. And that message from Dave and Sean was just true about the value they added there. But actually, you guys get the privilege of having them here. That we are the family of church across the world. And we all have differences, we all have different parts. But when you embrace that and bring it together, this thing is so much stronger called church. And when these guys are given the freedom to lead in who God has called them to be and their shape, that they will release you to lead and serve in what God has fitted you to do. And when that happens, this body works so well. What time have I got to that? I'm just going to keep going. I'll tell you what, I'll finish with some rounding points. Who here can do a handstand? Come show me. Come on. Come on. Give it up. Here we go. What's your name? Olivia's going to show us how to do a handstand. Can you do a handstand? You got enough room? Go for it. Away! Now, that's brilliant. I can't do that. I'm not even going to try. So just, you know, don't get your hopes up. Olivia, do you think you could walk on your hands? Is that something you can do? Do you want to try it? If you fall, it's okay. Oh, she got two steps though. That was good. Give it up for Olivia. You can go take a seat. The reason I say that is this. Is, do you know what? You can walk on your hands, but it's not comfortable. You can walk on your hands, but it's not easy. Do you know what's easier to walk with? Your feet. Because that's what they're made for. Feet were made for walking. We're not going to break into song. Feet were made for walking. Your hands weren't made for walking. You can do it. Like, you can contort your body in such a way, but it's not comfortable. Like, your head's in the wrong place. You can't see where you're going. All the rest of it. The Bible says that we are a body. And that some of us are hands and some of us are feet. Some of us are elbows. Some of us are noses, eyes, ears. Some of us are internal. Some of us are external. And if you are a hand trying to be a foot, it is uncomfortable. It is painful. It is not impossible, but the body won't function in the best way that it can. The body functions in the best way when you and I recognize what God has shaped us for. What God has fitted me for. Not everybody is a leader. Let me burst the bubble. Not everybody is a pastor. Not everybody is a teacher. Not everybody is an evangelist. Not everybody has the gift of prophecy or the gift of tongues. It doesn't mean they're not available. But the truth is this, that God has shaped you and given you certain things to complement the body. That if you are a foot, walk. Don't try and be a hand. If you are a hand, shape, do things with, thank you. Shape, do things with your hand. Don't try and walk on your hands. If you're a singer, sing. How often do you, you watch X Factor like I do, don't you? You don't care about the successful ones. You want the rubbish singers. That's what you want to see. Admit it. Come on. Anyone with me? You don't want to see the good singers. You want to see the rubbish singers. You want to see the ones that come on, you know, and they stand before the X Factor judges and they sing a Celine Dion song. And then, you know, the big buzzer goes down and, you know, Simon Cowell's like, you cannot sing. And they go, my mum says I can sing. Your mum was lying. And so Simon's like, you're never going to make it. He's like, well, I'm going to prove you wrong. I'm going to write an album. I'm going to be multi-platinum. I'm going to take the world. Well, good luck to you. Do you ever hear of them again? No. Because they can't sing. It's not their gift. It's not their fit. It's not their shape. And so often we try and be something we're not. Listen, let's just embrace who God has called us to be. Let's embrace the shape. Let's embrace the fit. Can the foot say to the hand, I don't need you? No, it cannot, because the foot is important. The hand is important. But when the foot is trying to be a hand, it's painful for everyone. And you will thrive and you will grow and this church will explode when we get to a place of security and we say, God, what have you called me to do? Is it a lead? Then I'll lead. Is it to serve? Then I'll serve. Is it to wash up? I'll wash up. That's not glamorous, but it's a part of the body. I'll scrub the floor. Why? Because it's a part of the body. Well, I'll preach because it's a part of the body. The danger is you look at this and you think this is significant, important. It matters, but it matters no more than the guy welcoming at the front of the door. Yeah. They're both important. Yeah. They both matter. It's not a hierarchy, it's a function. Yeah. When you hurt your toe, you know about it. Yeah. When you stub your big toe, your whole body screams. Because it matters. Yeah. And the danger is you look at someone else and you think they're better than me, they're more significant than me, they're not. More important than you, their function is different to you. And these guys, as pastors, as leaders, are here to see the body thrive, to see the body grow. And we are in the best position when we stop trying to be the singer when our voice doesn't work. When we stop trying to walk on our hands because we're a foot. And we say, God, what is it humbly you've given me to do? What is it you shape me for? What is it you fit me for? What is my identity in you? And when we embrace that, the body is dynamic. It is Olympic. It is strong. It is swift. It is fierce. And it will see Boston saved. It will. So many churches spend too much time wanting to be something they're not. Embrace who God has called you to be. Embrace the shape. Embrace the fit. Embrace. Imagine this. Imagine if the people in this town, how many people are in Boston? How many people live here? 64,000 people. A church of 100, are we there? About 100 people. The proportion is different. I tell you what, the mission field is huge. And there isn't time for us to spend it within the walls and going, well, I want to be something else, I want to be something different. No, let's embrace that, because there is a mission field of 60,000 people. And you've moved into a building and it is amazing, but this is not big enough to contain what God wants to do. It is too small in some ways. It is beginning. It's a launch pad for something so much more. Because it's not about us. It's not about just having a nice church. It's about embracing the body so that it might extend, it might grow, it might see people saved, see people restored, see people set free, made whole, redeemed, and see them in a place where they know Jesus and have a hope of eternal life. In case you missed it, that is the mission of every church. To seek and save the lost, to disciple, to grow, to shape and release. That is why we're here as church. And it's all done in family, with this love and support. I am who I am, in part because of these guys. And many of us as well, for Dave and Sean, for my old youth pastors, for different leaders that have come up through the years. I am who I am because they played their role in the body and shaped me. And the same can happen for you guys, to see this church forever grow. I think I've probably taught you. Not into a slumber, you all paid attention, you want more, but I tell you what, the more is worship now. Yeah. It's to turn our attention to God and say, actually, I want to be somebody that is not going to be insecure. I want to be somebody that is not going to obsess over somebody else and obsess over what I'm not. I'm going to embrace who God has called me to be. Humility isn't downplaying your strengths and abilities. Humility is saying, this is who I am and it's because of God. I am what I am by His grace, by His love. When we do that, we'll thrive. So the band are going to come forward. We're going to, or possibly play. We're going to work something out. But I'd love us to pray before we do that. So if you're able, would you stand with me this morning? And I'm not going to call you out to the front. You know where you're at. You know where your heart's at. from the youngest to the oldest in this room, if you're saying that I want to embrace my God-given fit, I want to embrace my identity, he might have gifted me with prophecy, he might have gifted me with healing, he might have gifted me with leadership, he might have gifted me with service, or everything in between, or none of that at all, and stuff that's not mentioned, but I want to find out what it is, and I want to say, I'm going to be secure in who I am. God, will you help me? God, will you shape me? Would you allow me in love to get over myself? That I won't be the block. I won't be the bottleneck. That I won't be the one that holds this body, that cripples this body, that disables this body of Christ. That I will play my role. That if I am a foot, I will be a foot. If I'm a hand, I won't try and walk on my hands. I'll try and be a hand. If I'm an elbow, I'm just pivotal. I make things move. I'll be an elbow. But if I'm a nose in the body of Christ, that I have a sense for what's going on. But if I'm hair in the body of Christ, I'll help this thing look good. I'll make it attractive for the world. Because the body of Christ is beautiful. I'm not going to push these analogies much further. But God, would you show us? What, you know, if that's, if you're saying now that's on your heart, why don't you just lift your hands to heaven as a sign, saying, God, this is me. I want to put all of my gifts, all of my abilities before you. If that's you, just lift your hands this morning, if you're able. Or you can rest them low if you're not able. And just say, God, I want to embrace all you've called me to be, all I am, all you've made me, that I won't despise it. I won't try and be something I'm not. I won't try and fit into a mold. I won't buy into the lie of the world that says that I'm never good enough, that I've got to look for something different. But you have made me in a fearful and wonderful way. That you have shaped me, that I'm made in the image of God. I am a child of God. John says, I am born of God. Born not of natural descent or of human will, but born of God. I'm divine, I'm supernatural. Because I'm saved, I have Jesus' blood over me. I'm rescued. Lord, would you press that home, that we would live attractive and godly lives. Attractive in the sense that people will see us and they'll see the difference. They'll see the peculiarness. Because it's different to the world. It's a glow. It's a shine. Something of the Spirit of God. And so we embrace our God-given identity. We embrace our shape. We embrace our fit. Lord, would you help us? For those of us that are struggling, and we're going after things that aren't our fit or our gift, would you help us to see it's not about the moment, the limelight, the event, the service, but it's all about the marathon journey of living out the body of Christ, of living out our lives to please you. Help us to embrace everything from cleaning up and tidying up after people, to loving people that are broken, to breaking down barriers, to forgiveness, to gifts and talents. All of these things, they're important, not one more than the other. And as we do that, Lord, would you see your church thrive and glow? Would you bless every single person stood in this room? Every person sat in this room, from the left wall to the right wall, to the front to the back, may your Spirit pour out on them, God. And would you help them see who you've called them to be? And if they don't know it yet, Lord, take them on a discovery journey. They might be thinking, oh, I haven't got anything. God, you have given them something. And as they pray and seek you, would you unlock the potential in this church? In all of its glory, to bring you glory, that we are what we are by the grace of God. Your hand shall not say to a foot, I despise you. And Lord, that we would laugh together, pray together, hurt together, cry together. We would be the body, be the family. And that we would mobilize and see this church take Boston. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
We've just got some. Can't sit there. Thank you. Hijack me.